To listen to more of these presentations, you may visit the audio archives at MISDA.org/audio2023 or search for Michigan Conference Camp Meeting wherever you get your podcast.
It is so good to start the day together. And you know, it's amazing when we go to do this trainings in at churches. You know, you preach a sermon, and when you preach a sermon, you know, usually our people say, amen, hallelujah. You know, everybody is so excited, so happy. And you make an appeal and you say, how many of you would like to do whatever it takes for the Lord? And almost everybody raises their hand up. And then second appeal, so how many of you are willing to come this afternoon to for outreach? And then maybe half of the hands go up, you know. Then, so we are used to make these commitments to the Lord, like, oh yeah, I would die for Jesus. And we remember who said something like that and what happened. Just so you just ask the next question, who is ready to come this afternoon for Jesus? And then boom, half. And of course, that's not to say that's will intent or something. People sometimes have commitments, other commitments that they had from before, and they can't change them. Just same as here. But closer we get to the distribution day on Friday, it's going to be less of us. You realize that? Why I'm saying this, why I'm mentioning this here, because you'll be trying to organize an outreach in your own church. And what you'll notice, that the people that are getting all excited during the sermon hour or whenever the invitation is, they will not be there for the hour of outreach. And there will be sometimes a church of 150 members, welcome, good to see you. A church of 150 members, you'll only have 10 people going out for an outreach. Can that be discouraging?
Yes.
Yes. That, good. That's the attitude. That's the attitude. I was talking to a pastor in the Springfield area, Missouri, and I said, Pastor, what do you think? One of your members reached out to me and asked me to come and to do a training at your church and to organize an outreach. So I said, what do you think about that? He said, no, not a good time. I said, why do you think it's not a good time? No, our church is about to split. We have a serious, serious issue in the church. We can't do outreach while we are fighting with each other. And when you listen to him, that's true. I mean, how will you go and invite people to come somewhere that when they come to that somewhere, even those who are there, they don't want to be there? So, but I said, Pastor, you know, in my experience, I've seen that outreaches unite churches. And he said, yeah, but I don't want to make you come. And then when you come, I know nobody will come out because they're so into their problems that they wouldn't come. And I will be embarrassed. I said, Pastor, will you come out with me if I come? He said, I will. I said, that's enough. You and I and my little ones, and that's enough. And he said, oh, okay, if you don't have high expectations than that, then that's fine. So I went there. We spoke in the morning. And I had an advantage, of course, because there was, I don't want to mention too many. Yeah, oh, come on in. Welcome. I don't want to mention, and I know you want a front row seat.
I see back there. That's good.
Are you sure?
Of course I am.
Will you hear from there?
No. I'm in the yard.
Sorry about this. I didn't realize that you had that.
Oh, no problem. This is good. This is good.
But this person goes with us.
So, I spoke in the morning. Then we had, they didn't have a potluck. Everybody went home. And when that happens, that's a recipe for not having anyone in the afternoon. That's why we always suggest, if you're going to have outreach, have potluck. And so everybody went home, and then he said, okay, at 3 o'clock, we'll meet here, we'll do training, and then we'll go out into the community. And I said, Pastor, I know it's going to be you and I. And he said, well, yeah, I know, I told you. So at 3 o'clock, when I was in the parking lot, just walking around and praying, and I started seeing cars coming, boom, boom, started coming, and the parking lot was getting full. And I said, there is something else going on at the church then. I'm pretty sure that they're coming for some social activity or something like that, because that's easier to. So anyway, I go in and I see the church is pretty much the same as it was in the morning, pretty much full. And I get out there and I say, let me ask you, is there something else going on at the church? And they say, no. I say, so you came for the training? And they say, yes. I said, okay, but how many of you are planning to actually go out? All of them are raising their hand. And I said, oh, wow, that's a miracle. So anyway, we went out, and about 3,000 books were distributed in those 2 hours. So that means 3,000 families now have the entire truth in their homes, even through a church that's about to split. So we come back. We usually have testimony time after outreach, and that's a recommendation to you. Whatever you do, don't skip the testimony time. You need that testimony time. Why? Because some people that will go out will not have such a good experience, because sometimes you go out and just nothing spectacular happens. Sometimes you go out and you just get a bunch of rejections, and you gave the books, and if you don't really understand the importance of the literature work, and that the book that you left at the door, that's the mission in itself, and that's mission accomplished. When you don't understand that, you kind of need to be pumped up by some experiences. But sometimes you don't have, hi, how are you? Sometimes you don't have any of those. And when people come back and they hear testimonies of other people, then they understand that that's not normal, and it's not always that you get a bunch of rejections only. That you actually get some cool divine appointments. So anyway, we came back and we opened for testimonies. Oh my, that was such a powerful moment. They started crying and sharing testimonies, saying, people out there, they don't know anything about God or Jesus, and their lives are so messed up. They need help. They need help. And here we are. We're fighting about trivial things. Who is going to be gathering, which group, ethnic group, will be gathering in the main sanctuary, and who is going to be in the youth class. And we're about to split because of trivial things like that, when people just don't know anything and they're about to die without Jesus. And they started crying. You could clearly see that one ethnic group sits on one side of the church and the other on the other, and they don't mix. They don't mix between them. So I could tell when somebody's speaking, they're coming from two different groups. And then they shared all of those powerful testimonies. They went for about an hour, and you couldn't stop them. I had to intervene, and they said, okay, now it's time, because they had another program after that. I had, now let's open it for about 15 to 20 minutes prayer time. We knelt down and they were just weeping. Both groups. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us. Help us to come in unity and to work for others. And then when we said the final amen from the prayer, both groups got up and they started crossing across the aisle, embracing each other and asking for forgiveness. That's what an outreach would do. To a person. That pastor gave his testimony at the general conference session. He gave a testimony how an outreach would unite a divided church. So anyway, I don't even know why I started sharing that with you. I went there for some reason, and there was a good reason for that. 10 is better than nothing. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I started saying that the group shrinks, and sometimes you will get what we got there in that city, and I don't want to mention the city just for the sake of privacy, But sometimes you'll get results, as in that city of Missouri, and sometimes you get results like we got in Marathon, Marathon the Keys. We were there just a few weeks ago, and we organized an outreach, and 6 people came out. It's not too bad, because the church itself in the morning, it had like 12 people probably sitting there. So 50% of the congregation came. But it's not always glamorous. It's not always big. Sometimes it's just you and someone else, and sometimes it's just you. Amen. And if you see, and if you see things by faith with the eyes of Jesus, then you'll see exactly that. And you'll say, I'm in the majority, I'm good, let's go. So I'm just saying that so that you wouldn't be disappointed and discouraged when you try to, you come all pumped up to your church and you say, well, let's do it. And you see people getting enthused, but then at the time of the hour, it shrinks. I'm actually very, very impressed. Very impressed that we have about 36 people that signed up to go out. This is, I can tell that the Holy Spirit is working. I can also tell that I'm in Michigan. I can also tell that the name of the class attracts certain people, and that's you, and that you are eager to share God's message with others. And I'm praising God for that. Praising God for this. So, okay, let's go into, Yara, by the way, I was not able to find my clicker yesterday.
Let's just go.
So today we're talking about inspired methods. We believe that the Lord is starting a movement, and it's such a joy to be in North America, and we believe that the movement is starting very, very heavily here, Canada, U.S., Hawaii, and the islands as well. Thank you, Yara. So, inspired methods. What did Ellen White say? We've seen a few things. And by the way, I'll be putting on the website, together with the materials that I'll give you about 80 quotes, 80 Spirit of Prophecy quotes, where Ellen White talks about literature evangelism, door-to-door, house to house, and great controversy specifically, and the three angels' messages. So I combined those quotes. One of our potential contributors said, "You know, I'm convinced that the great controversy should be going out, but," he said, "I'm not convinced that it has to go out by knocking on people's doors." He said, "I think it's probably easier to do it by mailing it out." And I said, well, that's one way. But I said, when you read all that Ellen White said about the door-to-door work, I want to do what the Lord said. And he said, can you send me those quotes? And I did actually, for him, I did this recopilation, that's how we call it, of the quotes, put them together and sent it. So 1 week later, he emails me and he said, I read with a lot of detention, and I was very careful in reading every quote. He said, I'm full in. I know the Lord has inspired this. Let's go with door-to-door work. So it's really powerful. Those who believe that Ellen White has been inspired by God, you don't need a lot more. You read and you say, okay, Lord, then if you say it, let's do it. So she says, and he who seeks to give light to others will himself be blessed. Do you believe that?
Yes.
There shall be showers of blessing. He that waters shall be watered also himself. Proverbs 11:25. God could have reached his object in saving sinners without our aid. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Oh, he would have done it so much quicker, so much more impressive. You know, if an angel would appear in heaven and would say, Sabbath is the holy day, do you think that would be impressive for people? And if somebody who says, oh, I don't believe that Sabbath, it's Sunday, pew, it's destroyed right there. People say, oh, wow. God could have done that easily, but he chose another route. And look why he chose that other route. But in order for us to develop a character like Christ, we must share in his work. In order to enter into his joy, well, this is, his joy is not only in heaven, His joy is here. Once you start working with the Lord, life becomes joyful. You lose sight of even how Laodicean is a Laodicean church. And you enjoy what the Lord is doing in your sphere of influence. And life becomes from bitter life where you criticize and say, yeah, but the leaders are doing it. And you stop criticizing and you just enjoy working for others. So in order to enter into His joy, the joy of seeing souls redeemed by His sacrifice, we must participate in His labor for their redemption. So now, if, sister, God bless you. Now, if we think, okay, we believe that the book is important, just like this gentleman was telling me, but let's mail it out. How much of our character does that develop? It probably will develop some, the mailman's character, you know, when he has a dog running behind him, chasing him, that will develop some of his character. But,
The stuffer is this.
That's right. You know, when the Lord has thought of the plan of redemption, He has thought about you and I. That's why He told the disciples, go. Because that, by the way, I think this quotation is, I don't see a reference to this quotation. I missed placing a reference there. I'll make sure that it is on the website when we put it, because I copied it this morning and it seems like I skipped the reference. So, do you understand that really the Lord has given us the work not so much for them outside, but for us? Because you know what could have happened? If it was only for them outside, the Lord could have come even today. And you say, how come people did not accept Him? God can judge everyone according to the light that they had. The problem that God has is the church that have received so much light and lives only to a small percentage of that light. If He would come today, it could be that the largest portion of our church would be lost. And those outside would be saved, because some of them are living to the entire light that they have. And the only light they have is Sunday as the holy day of worship, and they try to keep it. Oh, thank you so much. You guys are so efficient. Thank you. So God's problem is His church. That's why in Revelation 7, you see the angels, the four angels, holding the winds of strife. Why? Why? The angel says, do not harm the earth until we what?
Seal
the whom? The servants of our God. So we say, oh, it is. And Jesus said, the harvest truly is ripe. The problem is not out there. The problem, pray for laborers. And who are the laborers? Thank you so much. The reference here, oh, sister, thank you. Very helpful. Desire of Ages, page 142. Is that correct? Page 142, paragraph 2. That's for those who are taking notes. Desire of Ages, 142, paragraph 2. So, in God's love, God has left us the mission work for us to enjoy and for us to develop characters. Amen. Like Jesus is. So, it's really a favor to us. We think that we do a favor to God when we engage in mission work. And I'm telling you, more we get involved in God's work, I just see what a privilege it is to be a laborer together with Him. It's amazing. It's amazing. So anyway, Ellen White, when she came out from the vision, that was her first vision about publications, and she comes to James, to his to her husband, and James, poor guy, he was already maxed out. He was working like a donkey, 16, 18 hours a day. And here Ellen comes out of vision, and she says, you have to start printing. And he says, okay, honey, but I'm done. She says, no, you have to start printing. The Lord showed me that you have to start printing. And how do you fight with that? And she says, it's going to be small in the beginning, because he says, but we don't have money. I mean, we don't have influence. We don't have a press. How will we start printing? And she says, the Lord showed me that it's going to be small at the beginning. But as the time progresses, the Lord showed me that from this small beginning, it was shown me to be like streams of light that went clear round the world. That is where we took our name from. That's the name of our ministry, Streams of Light. And that's our logo, portraying that. By the way, in our logo, there are three angels, if you see. And the fourth line, that's the fourth angel of Revelation 18:1. And that's what we're portraying here, the earth lightened with his glory through, and that vision, in that vision, Ellen White has seen that through literature, through printing, the light will go all around the earth. And that's published in Ministry, page 16. Ellen White also says, and you know that quote, this is being used a lot, especially by those who like to distribute literature, publications are to be distributed like what? What happens in your yard in the fall when you just swept and you're happy because it looks good? What happens in 2 hours? You go out and say, oh my goodness, okay, let's go over again. Do you understand what it means, like the leaves of autumn? Yeah. It's not that you dropped one book somewhere and you say, that's it. It's like when every member is so enthused and believes so much what the Lord said that everybody is distributing, and this just goes everywhere. I love when I go into a restroom in the airport and I find a glow tract somewhere there. I said, oh yes, there's one of ours somewhere around here. So it's just beautiful. So that's the vision that Ellen White had, like the leaves of autumn, everywhere. And you will hear ideas there that people will say, well, that was for her time. That was for her time. It's not really applicable today, because in her time, that was the only way to disseminate truth. Today, we have what?
Internet.
This and yes, and phones. So this should be the way. I believe that this should be the way. But that is still the main way. Why? Why? Personal contact. And digital evangelism, as good as it is, and I love it, doesn't involve everyone. Digital evangelism is not as good for you, and it doesn't develop your character as good as when you have to go out in the sun or in the rain, and you have to go and knock and be rejected. Digital evangelism is you just post, boom, it's gone. Of course, you can do digital evangelism a lot more comprehensive than that. And digital evangelists can end up by going door to door. So that's a comprehensive digital evangelist that I believe in. That not only you don't only post, but you connect with people and then you go and visit them. So that can be done, and that's a wonderful way of doing it. Okay, listen to those critics that say that it wasn't her time. Listen to what she's saying. We are fast approaching the end. The printing and circulation of the books and papers that contain the truth for this time are to be our work. And another quote that I didn't place there, she says, closer we get to the end, more we'll have to distribute our publications. So it's not the opposite like they present. Well, it was then, now we have to reduce the print. No, it's the other way around. And it just sounds like Satan. Satan always tries to flip it around. So don't buy into that. Always go to the source. Go to the Bible and the spirit of prophecy. And how long will it last? How long? Here you have, as long as the probation continues, there will be opportunity for the canvasser to work. So she says that pastoral work soon will be done away with. Pastors will not be able to continue the work. Teachers and every other realm of work that we have within the church will be gone. because of restrictions and everything, how it will be done. But she says that faithful canvasser will have work all the way to the close of probation. Amen. As a matter of fact, she talks about two ministries that will go all the way to the close of probation. You know what ministries those are?
Medical missionary work
and literature evangelism. And when you read everything she has to say about both, it gives an impression that in the last days, those two will combine and will be one. Medical missionary work and literature evangelism will be one.
But it should be that way now.
It should be that way from the beginning, but you know, we always imitate what the world does, and the world doesn't do anything like that. That's why we try to be like them. We'll try to look professional, and that's why we separate those. But in the last days, God's people will understand that it's not like the world. It's like God said, and that's when it will be united. And those two will go all the way to the end. And she describes that those two, it will be done through house-to-house work. It's not going to be via internet, because at that time we believe that internet is not going to be available to us for Three Angels messages, but the doors will be still open, and we have a guarantee here. We have a guarantee that until probation closes, so all the way to the end. Okay. So I was in McAllen, Texas. And in McAllen, I'm trying to think, because I shared this with someone while I was eating. I didn't share this here with this group. My brain is confused now, because as soon as I saw, I said, wait, I shared this here. So about 2 years ago, I told my wife, what do you think if instead of taking our family vacation, I would go to distribute Great Controversies? Basically, our vacation will be taken by distributing Great Controversy. Ladies, what would you say if your husband would come with a creative idea like that?
No.
It was, yes. It was a special context because we were just starting Streams of Light, and it was during 2020, you know, the pandemic and all of that. It was just craziness. There was craziness all around. And so anyway, I bought, I think, 1,500 Great Controversies and traveled from California to McAllen. There was a reason why McAllen, but anyway. So I went there because I was trying to develop as well a way for people to share the Great Controversy and to get money for it. What does that mean? To give the book to people for free. To tell them, this is your free copy, you don't owe me anything. But people that value what we're doing, they're leaving a donation. So you can leave whatever you want. If you can't leave anything, the book is yours anyway. Enjoy it. So I tried to do that, and I would go house to house in the morning, and then in the afternoon I would go to parking lots. And this particular morning, it was Friday morning, I was in Sam's Club parking lot. And I was giving away here and there, just to make it short, in about 3, 4, 5 hours a day, I would make between $300 and $500 in donations. So the Lord really can bless through this. So we're trying to develop actually this style of work that when now people will start losing their jobs because of their religious convictions, that we would have something prepared for them that they can just jump and be plugged in and provide for themselves through a work like that. So that's the reason why we wanted to do that. So anyway, this Friday I'm giving a book away, and this lady, Maribel, she says, what's the book about? I tell her it's a blend of history and Bible prophecy. She says, oh, so it's about the Bible? I said, yes. And she says, I'm actually looking for a church. But she says, but I'm looking for a church that would preach the truth. And I said, ma'am, what's your name? She says, Maribel. I said, Maribel, I'm actually going to a church like that tomorrow. Do you want to join me? And that was that Sabbath. She was there with her daughter and her son, Julio. So Maribel was crying the entire sermon. The pastor, that's the pastor of the McAllen Central, he preached a sermon right as it was prepared specifically for her. She just wept and wept. And then the pastor made an appeal at the end of the sermon, who would like to renew their commitment with Jesus or to give their life to Jesus for the first time. Maribel was the only one that had passed to that appeal. She almost ran up front. After that, she stayed behind. She signed up for Bible studies. About 12 months later, Maribel was baptized in that very church. So you never know what will happen with one of those people that we'll meet tomorrow. You never know. Those wonderful, wonderful. And I was surprised even here from our sister there from Warren Church. And they were telling me that they are studying with those people. And this person that they are studying, and then the husband is coming up. So sometime soon we'll hear another story of a book being. So this is just going everywhere. As a matter of fact, Maribel and I, we've lost contact. She is plugged in into the church, so we didn't communicate. But just last week, she sent me a message and said, please pray. Her son Julio, who is about 23, 24, was involved in an accident, and the doctors gave him a 10% survival chance. So, and he was coming to the church, and then he left, and he said, well, I still have time to come back. So she says, she's crying, and she says, I want God to give him one more chance. So please keep Julio. And it was nice because I called, that was in, they live in McAllen, and that was in San Antonio. So she had to travel to San Antonio, and she calls me at night at about 10 p.m. And she says, do you have any pastor here that could come and pray with us? Because their entire family. And I called the pastor at that time at night, and the pastor left his home, went and prayed with them. And he went and visited them a few times. What a powerful testimony. And shout out to that pastor that would leave his warm bed and would brace their people that he doesn't know. They're not part of his flock, but he left the 99 and he went to seek for that one. So it's just beautiful. When I came to U.S., we went to Weimar. Those who know what Weimar is, there is an institution in Northern California, Weimar Institute, and I was going to take classes, and we didn't have money for those classes because we came from Argentina. We exchanged the money from Argentinian peso to dollars, and those of you who know what that means your money just and it's like it was thousands and thousands and thousands, and now it's just made a few thousands of dollars. So we bought an RV to live in as a family, and we bought a vehicle. We got health insurance for everyone. Basically, we bought everything we needed, and the money was gone. So I needed to pay $15,000 for the tuition. And those who know Don McIntosh tells me, so how will you pay? I said, well, canvassing. He said, well, but you only have 2 weeks before classes start. I said, that's the only thing I can do. And I said, that's the only thing I can do legally in this country. So I said, that's what I'll do. But he said, but you don't understand, canvassing works maybe in South America to make money and to pay for tuition. Here in U.S., it doesn't really work that way. It works, kids go for spiritual experience and stuff, but not to earn money. And so I said, well, that's all I can do. So anyway. What do you think? In those 2 weeks, did God give what I needed or not? Yes. He gave exactly what I needed and a little more just by doing door-to-door canvassing, selling books. And one of those Sundays, I knocked on the door. This lady opens the door. I said, ma'am, I'm talking to people about health. So briefly, I need to talk to you and your family. She says, that would be interesting, but we are all watching a soccer game. And they were from El Salvador. And as El Salvador was playing, so everybody was, you know, the entire family was there, relatives were there. I said, ma'am, for some reason I felt like I needed to insist. How many of you like when somebody insists at your door? Somebody whom you didn't invite to your door. But I felt that I needed to insist. So I said, okay. And I said, ma'am, can you call your husband? Because I saw that she's a closed case. And she says, I can, but he will be upset. He doesn't like when I interrupt him from soccer. I said, ma'am, please call him. So he comes out. What do you need? I said, sir, I'm talking about health with people. I just need a few minutes with you and your family. Didn't my wife tell you that I'm busy? I said, sir, she did, and I'm so sorry that I'm disturbing you. But, and at that moment, an idea comes to my mind to say something that I don't recommend saying. Sir, what's more important for you, a soccer game or your health? Not a very good question when somebody is enthused watching soccer. I know what I would have answered if I were him, and I know how I would have acted, but he didn't. What he did, he looked down and said, you're right. Come on in. And he makes me come in. He gets, he goes right to the TV, pushes the button, turns the TV off, and he tells everyone in the room, okay, everyone, we'll listen to a health lecture now. You can tell that nobody in the room was happy. And I could feel it, and I had a feeling that a shoe or something will fly into me. Because, so pretty soon, a lot of talking between them. Pretty soon, everyone left the room. I was only left there with Nilo and Olga, the husband and the wife. So when we talked, Nilo told me, and he said, the reason why I let you in, because a few weeks ago I had a stroke. And he said, the doctor said if I didn't change my lifestyle, I would die. And this Friday, it was Sunday, Friday, he said, Olga and I were talking, and we said, how can we find help? Where can we find help? Where can we learn how to cook healthy? Where can we learn these things? We have no idea. They were coming from El Salvador. They had no idea where to look for that. And he said, when you said, what's more important for you, your health or soccer game, that conversation came into my mind. I said, this is my opportunity. So they bought all the books. I had, I think my set of books was about, we have a canvasser here. I was canvassing big books, a huge family Bible, and about six or seven health books. It was about $550 set. Wow. He bought all of them. Wow. And when I took the Bible out, he embraced the Bible and he said, this is what we truly need. So I invited them on Sabbath to come and eat a vegan food. So I asked Karen, my wife, to prepare. They are two adults and four children, about 14 years old, 12 years old, those ages. So we were living in an RV at that time. So we had two kids, so four of us, and six of them, 10 in total, in an RV. You know how that is. Very, very tight. Very tight. I'm so grateful that my wife didn't do what usually women can do. I say, wait, what? Are you kidding me? Are you going to bring this amount of people to this small place? But she didn't. She cooked a nice meal. They ate. And then next Sabbath at 2 p.m., they came again to eat a vegan meal. And then next Sabbath, they came again. Then they signed up to study the Bible. About 11, 10 months later, Nilo asked me to marry them because they were living together, they had kids, but they were never married. So he said, I understand that the Bible tells me that everything has to be done right, and we want to do that. So I had the privilege to marry them. And about 3 months after that, they have requested to be baptized. Amen. Today, the entire family is in the church, a missionary, powerful missionary family. Karina, she came with us, I think, to three of our mission trips. Now she just texted us that she has been accepted at Weimar as a nurse. She's going to be starting nursing at Weimar. Her brother, Oris, has finished academy at Weimar Academy as well. And now the younger sister, Paula, is studying at the academy as well. So the entire family is plugged in. Why? Because the Lord didn't give me the money how I was asking. I was asking, Lord, please help me to meet a rich person, and they would just say, take $15,000 and go and study. The Lord decided not to do that, and I'm praising him for that.
Because you were persistent.
My character, the Lord used that to build my character, and the Lord used that need to bring a family into the church. Amen. That family is one of the closest families we have here in the U.S. now. It's just such a precious, precious experience. This is what the Lord had in mind when he told us that we need to do mission work. Do you understand that?
And he gave you the words.
He does. He does.
Right, exactly the right.
Exactly. When we tell the Lord, Lord, just use me. I'm fearful. I don't know what to say, but use me. He will do. He will do that. And he will do that with you tomorrow. Amen. You'll see tomorrow how that will work. This guy, I forgot his name, but he's 93, and he came to do outreach with me. Oh my, we had, all of that area was apartments, so we had to go up the stairs and down, up and down, up and down. And when we went, almost no one was home, so we had to go up and down. 93-year-old man was going up and down, up and down. And I was saying, Clive. I was saying, Clive, are you okay? Oh, yeah. It brings me so much joy that I can do something for people, that I can do something. I said, Clive, and he drives by himself. So if a 93-year-old man can do it, if a 9-year-old man can do it, how about us? What excuse do we have? It's just so amazing. As a matter of fact, Clive just texted me a few weeks ago in Facebook. Clive still uses even Facebook. So he texted me, he said, I'm still going door to door. He said, thank you so much for training us. He went through AFCO. You know what AFCO is? Amazing Facts College of Evangelism, where young people come, get trained for evangelism. He went through that program right there, at 93. He decided that he still wanted to get trained more because he wanted to reach more people. Oh my. I said, Clive, you're a legend. And what's his name? Doug Batchelor was taking pictures with him, putting it everywhere, saying, this is our oldest, all-time AFCO student. Yes, sister. Yeah, some people will ask you, are you Jehovah or are you this? And we say, and never say, oh, no. I say, we respect them, but we're not them. We respect, we love Jehovah's Witnesses, but we're not them. Because sometimes people say, oh, I'm one. They'll ask you if you're Jehovah. Oh, no, I'm not them, those people. And they say, oh, I'm one. So just be very respectful, very kind, and say, no, we're not them. But yes, you can. Don't ever put, white dress shirts as well, men, when you go out, because you'll get confused for Mormons. So be dressed, just casual. That's fine. And he who seeks to give, we've read that. I don't know what happened there. Okay. Amen. And maybe if we would open here at the floor, we would hear many more stories even from this group. Can you imagine 148 million books? What would they do? Can you imagine heaven after having accomplished this and being in heaven, and somebody would run behind and say, hey, do you remember me? And you'd say, help me out. And the person would tell you, Alma, 2023, on that day of June, you came on that Friday, knocked on my door. I was not enthused of getting your knock or getting your book, but I took it anyway. The book has been sitting on the shelves for years before I read it, but then I read it and I found Jesus, and today I'm here. Thank you so much. How much would that be worth? And then in 10,000 years, you meet that person again, and that person says, thank you. You have been a channel. You have been a channel for my salvation. And then again and again, and throughout eternity, you will meet that person, and that person will say, thank you. Thank you. Do you understand what the Lord is doing to us? That we will be partakers of the plan of salvation. And yes, all the crowns will go to Jesus, but people will recognize who was one of the channels for their salvation. That's why I'm so enthused about what the Lord is doing. I don't care about the critics. I don't care about the people who are trying to stop this, because I know that the Lord told us that we have to do it. Yes. We need to do it, and the joy will be so great here. What an amazing way God has developed for you and I to be involved. Such an easy method. You don't have to write it. You don't have to preach. And as we spoke even the first day, you don't even have to know it in order to share it. Of course, it's a lot better if you do know it. But even if you don't, guys, if you don't know it, you can still share it. And you can still, it can still be a blessing to someone. I was so inspired that these two gentlemen here with us at camp meeting, Donnie and Joshua, two of them are here as a result of a literature evangelist, knocking on their doors and studying the Bible now, and now they're at camp meeting. So that's just so amazing. The work keeps going on and on. Can you imagine if we would have obeyed God when God told through Ellen White that that's the work that his church should be doing? If everyone would be doing that, how would our church look today? But it's not late. Let's not lament about what's in the past. Let's just say, Lord, forgive us and help us. And go forward with enthusiasm. Go forward by faith. And the best is yet to come. The best of this church is yet to come. You know, the marvelous thing that God, in the prophecies, we read that out of a Laodicean church. What's Laodicean? We said the first day, it's similar with Babylon. Laodicea has confusion, sees things that are not real, and doesn't think things that are real. That's Laodicea. So out of that church, God will raise 144,000. From the weakest of the churches of Revelation, the strongest of people who will resemble Jesus' character in its perfection. Only God can do that. So once again, the best is yet to come. Don't look at your church and say, oh, we only have a few members here and there. The best is yet to come. Let's do what the Lord told us that we have to do. By faith, move forward, and the Lord will do the marvelous work. So let's enjoy what's ahead of us. Difficulty, challenges, trials, tribulations. But in all of it, the Lord will be with us. And as a matter of fact, we'll be so close to Him that we'll feel constantly in the presence of the Lord. And we'll say, I would rather take all of the challenges with the Lord right next to me than being in a nice place, in a quiet place without the Lord. So that's what's waiting for you and I'm so enthused about this. Now, we had some questions some people have asked, and we have 2 minutes. How can you get the books? Those who are enthused, they want to distribute. Michigan Conference, your conference, is the only conference out of the 59. It's the only conference that has taken this project so seriously that they have decided, they have requested, they said, we like your book, but we want a special cover, a Michigan Conference cover of the book. So that's what you have it. The only conference that has, that you have your own cover on the back of the book. Can you look if there's any of those books? So your conference bought 200,000 of those books. 120,000 are out already. They only have 80,000 left, and they said that they're leaving fast. Once they're done with this, then we don't have any more of those yet. We'll do them at the next print run that we'll have. But the beautiful thing about this cover is that you have right here on the back, you have BibleStudyOffer.com. You know, that's your own entity and designed by Michigan Conference. So that's very special. Very special. So you can get those books right at your own conference. And the benefit of that shipping for you is going to be a lot cheaper. Or you can probably even organize to drive yourself and pick them up. Pick them up from there so that you don't have to pay shipping. So this is the number to call. So if you want, take a picture. If you need, or write the number down. That's, I guess, Tammy. So you can call Literature Ministries Department. You can call this number and you can order your books there. I'm so excited about Michigan Conference, a conference that knows exactly what the Lord has called us for and moves forward. Michigan Conference has asked us to do a 2.0 project of the distribution of the Great Controversy. And the goal of the Michigan Conference is to knock on every door of the Michigan Conference. You have to be proud in a good sense of the leadership that you have.
Amen.
You have to be happy. It's worth taking the winters and the snow and the cold by being in a conference like that. It's worth it. And my wife and I, we said, if we ever had to come and live here, and would we do it? Only to be in a spiritual environment like you guys are. It's worth it. Yes. Amen. Amen. We have talked about this the first day, that it could be done both ways. It could be done through hand delivering or mailing out. And each one of them has its place. Mailing out is good in its sphere. Hand delivering is good in its own sphere as well, because of the personal contact. And not every post man or woman is like our sister here. Amen. So I know you might have questions. We'll answer them tomorrow in the last hour that we have together. We have the maps printed out for all of us. We'll distribute them. I know somebody approached me yesterday and they said we wouldn't be able to make it at 1. We can make it at 1:45 probably. So what we'll do, we'll hand you the maps tomorrow in the hour of the class. If you come, I'll have them marked and all, because I hope that they will be. Anyway, we will have them tomorrow, so I'll hand you those maps. So what we'll do tomorrow in the class, we'll divide in teams. We'll see, I have the list of those who have a vehicle and those who don't have a vehicle. So we will, those who do have a vehicle, like good Christians, those who desire to share and give a ride to someone, I would need a ride too, then we'll be thankful to you. And then together we'll go there. So the idea is to meet here at 9:30 tomorrow, and we'll give the final instructions how we'll be, if we distribute everything. We distribute even the books, you can take them, then we probably wouldn't even have to come back here at 1. We'll just pray there at 10:30 together, and then from there we'll go right into our territory. And we'll only come back to this classroom for testimony time. For testimony time. We'll come back. We can probably, if we go at 1, we can come back probably at 3 is a little too early because of the, but we could come back at 3. We could come back
people
at 3.
People drift in whenever they drift.
Yes. Because the idea is that you could get at least one of the seminars that you want to have, so that we don't get you out for so long. So does that sound good?
Amen.
We'll stuff them tomorrow.
Don't today.
Today.
The what? Oh, yeah, we'll be stuffing the books. Those who can stay behind and stuff some books, we can do some of that right now.
Okay.
Those who cannot, we will be stuffing books again right after lunch. Right after lunch here in this classroom.
All right. Let's find a better place.
We'll do it here because I don't want to, you know.
Confusing.
Yeah, if we're somewhere else, someone will be staying at the door here and redirecting you. But otherwise, we'll meet here. Is it all good? Yes. Yes, you'll be getting that tomorrow in a little paper that we'll give you. But other than that, it's going to be all in your good memory that you have. We'll give you that paper. Okay, let us pray and let's be out of here. Those who need to run and those who want to stay and pack some books, you can do that too. Yara, would you pray for us, please? Come here for the mic as well.
Lord, thank you that we could, you entrusted the work that the angels could have done to us for our character to grow. And Lord, thank you that we have the opportunity tomorrow to go out and share these books with people. Help us to have the right words in our minds and help, please outpour the Holy Spirit so, and help the largest portion of the church to be laborers together with you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
To listen to more of these presentations, you may visit the audio archives at MISDA.org/audio2023 or search for Michigan Conference Camp Meeting wherever you get your podcast.